Welcome to Afterword. This is Peter, and today's sermon recap is for 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15. In this series in 2 Peter, God is discipling our memories, training us in healthy ways to remember, and as we'll see, learning how to forget. We need these reminders, as outlined in 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15, so that we will keep growing, stay awake, and continue on. In her helpful book, A Still and Quiet Mind, Esther Smith describes the barrage of unwanted thoughts a woman named Jane experienced. Every time she struggled to connect with new friends, failed to keep her house clean, scrolled through social media, thought about how poorly she was parenting, thoughts like, I'm not good enough, I can never do anything right, I'm a terrible parent, would flood her mind. One day she was sharing her struggle with a wise friend, and she suddenly remembered where she first heard these thoughts. When she was 9, she was baking cookies with her mother and accidentally dropped a bag of flour on the floor. Her mother began yelling at her and threw her out of the kitchen. What is wrong with you? You never do anything right. Leave the kitchen. I'll finish this myself. It will be easier without you. Esther explains, as Jane revisits this memory, she realizes it represents a theme in her childhood that has infiltrated the thoughts she now has as an adult. Her parents often yelled at her for small things. They often compared her to her more successful siblings and constantly made her feel small, insignificant, and worthless. Now, deep down, Jane knew these memories do not represent who she really is. She knows the gospel. But these thoughts have a powerful shaping influence. Now let's think back to our bridge illustration. Imagine if Jane lived in a small town with one road that crosses a ravine and the only bridge is out. All of her cognitive traffic travels down that road, and when the bridge is out, she can end up in the ravine of fear, self-doubt, despair. This childhood theme of failure, disappointment, fear of not messing up becomes the filter through which most all her thoughts travel. But in 2 Peter 1, Peter is reminding us of a different way. What if this one road is not Jane's only option? What if God has given us everything we need for life and godliness, so that out of the resources of His divine power and His divine promises in Jesus, we find alternate routes as we supplement our faith with qualities like virtue, knowledge, self-control, qualities like steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. So what practically does this look like for Jane? Well, she begins talking about this with her wise friend and opening up to her husband about these thoughts. She learns more about our ingrained negativity bias. Are you familiar with that? There's research that shows most all of us have an ingrained negativity bias, which leads us to remember negative and painful memories more than positive and pleasant ones. So she begins to recall pleasant memories that tend to remain off in the shadows, like when she would bake with her grandmother, who was always kind and encouraging. And because many of her childhood experiences were so painful and continue to influence her as an adult, Jane begins meeting with a Christian counselor to explore ways of renewing her thoughts. How does who she is in Jesus redeem how she views God, how she views herself, how she views others. How do the promises of God transform her from thinking as a victim of these lies within her head to thinking as a beloved daughter of God? To go back to our bridge illustration, by God's grace, Jane is building a network of alternate routes so that she is not stuck in this rut of the pain in her past. And the kind of growth that Peter is describing in 2 Peter 1 is not a quick fix. Like, there's no Christian pill that you can take and you're good to go. In verse 10, Peter emphasizes, if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. The verb practice is a present active participle, which simply means there is an ongoing aspect to this. Paving new roads is not easy nor instantaneous. We begin to make progress. We fail. We fall back. We get back up. We continue to grow. And this is why we need each other. As the Apostle Peter says in verse 12, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. Like Jane, we can know truths, but God is calling us to grow in the experience of these truths, the experiential knowledge of how Jesus transforms us through these truths. So therefore, we never outknow or outgrow the need for these kinds of reminders. Each new season of life brings new challenges, new bridges that are out, new opportunities to grow, to pave new roads as we come to know our Lord Jesus more intimately. We are together being transformed into His image. And I've got to say how much of an encouragement you all were to me this past Sunday, singing God's promises with such joy and conviction. I felt waves of encouragement throughout the day. Your yearning for awakening, your prayers for enabling. I had the privilege of crying out with many of you. Your questions, your doubts, your fears, your longings all reflect a family desiring to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Fueled by His promise, carried by His power, we continue to remind one another of all that we have in Jesus, and we continue to grow together. Thank you for joining us for Afterward.